It occurred to me in recent days how often we use the word heart in a way that transcends the simple but most critical and necessary function of the heart in our body. We all know what it does. And it's a very simple thing, but most critical and necessary. It pumps blood throughout the rest of the body. It's a large muscle. If I'm not mistaken, is one of the largest muscles, if not the largest muscle in the entire human body. And it brings that life-giving blood to all of the members, even to the tiniest parts of the human body. And if for some reason it would stop conveying that blood, that part of the body would die. Not immediately, but within minutes. That's how necessary blood is to all the parts of the body. Definitely we take this for granted. We don't think about it. How important the heart is, how important it is to every single other cell in the body. Because that's how it receives oxygenation, nutrients, and it also removes waste. It's just amazing. The more you study the way God has created things, the more awe and wonder it leads to, or at least should lead to, in how marvelously our Creator made everything. It is the most incredibly designed, well-balanced, harmonious arrangement. Of course, the evolutionists who want us to believe it all happened by random chance. How insane can that be? This most complex, ordered, designed system just happened by accident or randomly over the years, over the many, many centuries which they claim existed. So, again, a simple function. But as I said, we use this word heart to convey the deepest ideas. We talk about, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. That's the utmost expression of sincerity you could have, right? Or do it wholeheartedly. Don't be half-hearted. How often have we heard that or said that? Get to the heart of the matter. What do we mean by that? Getting to the core essence of something. So you see, it's this simple function that the heart has, we see it in a very transcendent way when we talk about these things such as I've just mentioned. We talk about being heartbroken. The deepest sorrows and pains of life, we express them as being heartbroken, or it broke my heart. Some say this can actually physically happen. I'm not sure how to explain that, but it would be some kind of a massive trauma to the heart. And some say that Pope St. Pius X died this way on the eve of World War I breaking out. It's something he labored so hard to help prevent, and despite everything he did, it still happened. War broke out about 10 days after he died, but he could see it coming. So we see how we convey the idea, these transcendent ideas about important matters by using the word heart. And of course, what is the symbol of love that's used on Valentine's Day and so often other times? The heart. Although we know that ultimately love has to be in the will. It's not enough just to be in the feeling. It has to be in the will. That's real love. But our Lord, of course, knowing how transcendently we would use the word heart, most certainly participates, you might say, in this expression of transcendence, because the word heart is used in Holy Scripture. My son, give me thy heart. We read, I'm not exactly sure where that occurs, but it is definitely in Holy Scripture. Our Lord would teach that we have to forgive one another from the heart. And isn't that the answer to so much of the world's hate and discord? Yes, there have been many times in human history, it will always happen, more or less, where people will hurt, offend, wound one another. But is the answer to take revenge? I'm going to get even for what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 100 years ago. In some cases, I remember about the war in Bosnia in the 1990s. The roots of that war go back 700 years. Your ancestors did this, and so therefore I will take revenge now. Where does it end? It can never end. It can never heal. It can never be fixed by continuing to take revenge to get even, as we say. Our Lord taught that principle that would, in fact, heal things. You must forgive one another from the heart. And of course, on our own powers, we can't do it. We need the help of God to forgive from the heart. And the Sacred Heart of Jesus taught us that. How to forgive from the heart. His first word on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Lord would also teach, learn of me, for I am meek and humble. Did he stop there? For I am meek and humble. It would have expressed it fully, right? No, not quite. He wanted us to get the idea of the heart. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And then, as our Lord is on the cross, and of course he's already died, he wants the last grievous wound inflicted on him to be that of having his heart pierced. It would show that almost that virtually all of the blood had drained from his body, because the heart would have some droplets, some drops of blood still left. Our Lord's body, I mean, he literally was bleeding to death in the most grievous torments. And St. John tells us in today's gospel, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers opened his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. And the water, of course, would have come from the pericardium, which is the sac or that has this watery liquid enclosing the heart. It helps protect it and maintain its function. And so, of course, water and or what seemed to be water and blood would, and definitely blood would be coming out of that. And the fathers of the church expound at length on how St. John chose this word opened, not just pierced, opened. And we know that that's an open wound that's existing for all eternity, along with the wounds in his hands and feet. Put your finger into my side. That's miraculous that our Lord would have retained those five wounds, and most definitely the wound in his heart. So we see how great this doctrine, this devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is, how it speaks to us so eloquently and powerfully. It was not a devotion that was well known in the earlier part of the church. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until the 1600s, I believe, that St. Margaret Mary received these special revelations of the Sacred Heart, the 12 promises. Of course, the doctrine was always there. The totality of our Lord's body was always adored. But this devotion was made more manifest in recent centuries. It is therefore a devotion for our times. How much more eloquently can Christ speak to us than through his Sacred Heart, which continues to beat for love of us? Think about that. It's his heart is beating in the tabernacle, and we will have that heart within our heart in every Holy Communion for those 15 precious minutes or so that he is within us physically. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is within us physically. So we see the need then for reparation. Even though the heart of Jesus is not suffering now, nevertheless, it suffered. And it's correct to think of it as suffering now, as we think of the Immaculate Heart of Mary suffering now, because every sin was atoned for, every sin was suffered for, every sin was sorrowed over by Christ. So the need for reparation is there. But what a motivation to think of this message of the Sacred Heart. See how much I love you. May then we continue to grow in this devotion. And I urge you to read the writings of Father Mateo, the great apostle of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the 20th century. He went throughout the world. He was on fire with this devotion, preaching enthronement to the Sacred Heart, the communion of reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus on the first Friday of the month, and even night adoration. And he would say, you don't even need to make a daily or weekly holy hour, but he said this is a special association of devotees of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that at least once a month during the night you sacrifice your sleep to make that hour of reparation. So you will be truly inspired by the writings of Father Mateo in this regard, and to help you keep growing in your devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And doesn't this, of course, fit in perfectly with the devotion to the Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary? So again, it's the love that is shown to us that went through so much suffering, and they will help us in our sufferings and sorrows unite with their hearts. When your heart goes through all of its phases and stages of life, be united with the Sacred Hearts of Jesus
and Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.